In November 1975, Bud, things are going pretty well for you. You're a father. You're happily married. Your career is making headway. You go across the street to a liquor store to buy a bottle of wine for dinner. What happens?
Well, I should point out that up until that point, I had never really done any investigating of anything. I had just been a reader and a user of UFO material. But in 1975, I went across the street to get a bottle of wine for dinner, and George Obarski, who was a very, very colorful older guy who had a tiny little crummy liquor store. You can't imagine how tiny it was. I used to go in and chat with him about politics and so forth, but when I went in, this particular night, he was sort of pacing around and complaining, as he always did, about things, political leaders, down on the mayor and so forth. And he finally said, you know, I don't know what the world's coming to. A guy could be coming home from work, and somebody could come down from out of the sky and scare you after death. And I said, what's that, George? And he looked at me sort of like he was going to test whether I was going to make fun of him or not. And, I mean, that was what I realized in retrospect. But at any rate, he started to tell me the story. I went back and got my tape recorder, and which is new, a little thing for me. And out came this incredible tale that he was driving home. He used to close the liquor store at midnight, of course, and then he had to do some restocking the shelves and one thing and another, watch his tack dog. And then he was driving home, going through North Hudson Park, which is right opposite of the West 80s in Manhattan. It's right across the Hudson River. And he was taking a shortcut to go get something to eat when his radio started to go out. And he was listening to some station or something, and he said something passed his car on the left side, maybe, I don't know, 40 or 50 feet off the ground, shot ahead and stopped in this playing field that he was approaching, scaring him to death. And as he said, he really slowed down, and this thing hovered about 10 feet above the ground, then it came down closer, and these small figures started to pour out of it. He thought there were maybe 10 or 11 of them. Each one was carrying a kind of little satchel, which he drew for me when I asked him, and kind of a spoon. And they started madly digging dirt and throwing the dirt into the little satchels. And he was absolutely petrified. He said he was about 60 feet away in his car, still moving but very slow. And he said they went right back up into the thing. And he described it in his own wonderful way. He said they looked like kids in snowsuits. They were wearing a one-piece kind of thing. He couldn't really make out faces very well. They got back in the thing, and he said it took off incredibly fast. He said it was like there was a giant magnet in the sky, and this was metal. He said it made a little humming sound like a refrigerator starting up, and he was petrified. And the whole thing took a couple minutes, 3 minutes maybe tops, whatever. He drove home and forgot about the dinner or food he was going to buy. And he said when he went in his apartment, he was afraid to turn on the lights because he said, I didn't want them to know where I lived. And he was absolutely terrified. He said he made cups of tea and took aspirin. That was his remedy for practically everything. And had an almost sleepless night. And the main thing then was, he said, you know, but I went back the next morning. He said, I wanted to believe I'd slipped the gear somehow or that managed it or something. And he said he went back to the park, which is very close to where he lived. And he went to the location, and he found all these little holes. He said, you know, I had to stick my hand down in one of those little holes to before I could actually believe it happened. And he said that. Then I went home, and I had to make more tea and take some more aspirin. The whole thing absolutely terrified him. But the point is, when he was telling me the story, The incident happened something like 8 months before. I forgot, 8 or 9 months. And so it was no longer fresh and immediate, but I was, of course, enthralled. I wanted to find out exactly what happened, and that was my first, the beginning of my first and very thorough investigation.
And suddenly some gear kicks in, some investigatory gear kicks in, and you start playing detective, basically.
Absolutely. And I met Ted Blocher, who was one of the very early UFO pioneers, really, an investigator and writer. And I had seen his name in something that I had been reading, UFO journal or something, and I knew he lived in New York, and I contacted him. So the two of us, because he'd done this sort of thing before, although I don't think he'd ever investigated a landing before. This was the classic close encounter of the first kind. There it was, 60 feet away. Close encounter of the second kind, the actual physical after effects on Earth, the holes. And, of course, the close encounter of the third kind, these figures. So it hit all three buttons in the Alan Hynek schema of things.
One of the things you mention in your new book, Art, Life, and UFOs, a memoir, is the idea that, you know, it's one thing to see UFOs in the sky a long ways away. You don't know quite what they are. It's another thing to read articles about it and be intrigued by it. And it's quite different to be confronted with the idea that this might be real, and it can really be something that terrorizes people.
Absolutely. I think that the point I made was that people are very willing to report something that seems very distant, lights in the sky that seem to do funny things, but that they're clearly way far away from the witness. And they'll report that because it doesn't really, in a sense, involve them. But something like this with George was something that he wasn't going to report to anybody. And incidentally, when he told me, I should point this out, when he told me about it, he did not know that I had any prior interest in the subject. That was just a coincidence. It was just that we used to talk about various things, but certainly not that. It was all local politics, essentially. So I think that the way this affected me, I'm thinking, again, this is real. This is, I mean, I had absolutely no doubt that George experienced what he experienced. I mean, he just, I knew the man. He was absolutely truthful, and he was terrified by what had happened. One of the things you have to be careful with, or you learn, it was the wannabe situation where somebody wants to have been somebody who had an experience, a UFO experience, and one of the things that they will usually include in their story is some way in which they become very important, that the aliens told them something, some earth-shaking insight that they have to be very careful who they tell it to and so forth, or whatever. There's always something, or how brave they were or something. But George was simply abjectly terrified, and that was a hard thing for a man his age, or any man really, to admit. It's, of course, a sign of credibility that he can really say that sort of thing, and the fear was enormous.